All right, and I'll invite you to rise real briefly for our scripture lesson for today. It's a short one, but we'll be reading from 3 John, verse 4. And in that verse, John simply writes, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. And let's stop and pause in prayer as we prepare to reflect upon those words. Heavenly Father, we do again thank you for today. We once again thank you for the blessings of fathers, and of course we would say parents in general. But we thank you so much for the blessing that they are. And we pray that, Lord, as we reflect upon this passage contained in John's third epistle, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, and that you would bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as parents, it's needless to say that we love our children, right? And there's not a particular reason that we love them. What I mean is quite often people enjoy it when you make a list for them of the many reasons that you love them, but those lists really end up being quite superficial. You know, again, there's not a particular reason why we love them. There's nothing we can point to. There's nothing in particular that they have done by which they have earned our love or by which they have become deserving of our love. And what I mean, again, is simply this. We don't love them because of the fact that they are funny or because they are smart or because they are talented. We don't love them simply because they love us in return. We don't love them because of what they look like. We don't love them because of what they have achieved. We love them simply because of who they are. We love them simply because they are our children. And nothing, of course, can change that fact. Nothing can alter that reality. It's also needless to say to us as parents that we're proud of our children. We're proud of both who they are as well as of those things that they have achieved. We are filled with joy, again, as parents, as we watch our children grow and as we watch them accomplish so much over the course of their lives. We take pride in the fact that they've grown up. We take pride in the fact that they have become independent. We take pride in the education they have acquired. We take pride in the career that they have established for themselves. We take pride in their family. We take pride in the way that they carry themselves in their day-to-day life. And again, there are many other sources of this pride. We're proud as we watch achievements that are relatively minor in the big scheme of things. We're proud of them not only if they are straight-A students, right? But we are proud of them simply as they move from one grade to the next, from year to year. We're proud of them not only if they're the star athlete. We're proud of them if they simply make a basket or strike out a batter or score a touchdown. We're proud of them not only if they get a high-powered, high-paying job right out of the gate. We're proud of them as they simply get their first job, as they earn a raise, or as they earn a promotion. But we are, of course, proud also of those major achievements, those major milestones that they reach in life. We're proud of them as they graduate high school and college. We're proud of them as perhaps they break a major record in terms of athletics. We're proud of them as they achieve a higher rank in the military, or again, as they move up that corporate ladder. And of course, we're proud of them as they reach certain milestones in life. We're proud of them as they get married. We're proud of them as they have children of their own. We're proud of them for simply fulfilling their vocations, for fulfilling the various roles in which they find themselves, and for doing so well. And I say all of this while at the same time realizing that they are sinners. I say this realizing that they are sinners just like us. I say this realizing that they have made a lot of mistakes over the course of the years. And I say this realizing that there's going to be many more mistakes that they will make in the days and years ahead. As parents, we love our children and we're proud of them, even when they mouth off, right? We might want to strangle them in the moment, but we still love them. We love our children and we're proud of them even when they disobey. Again, we might be angry with them in the moment, but yet we love them. We love our children and we're proud of them even when they make a dumb decision. We might be frustrated with them, again, in that moment, but yet we love them. And we're not proud of their mistakes, of course. I'm not suggesting that we are or that we should take pride in their sin, but we do continue to love them in the face of this reality. We remain proud of them in the face of this reality. And this is especially true as they recognize their failures, as they confess them, as they deal with them, and as they learn from them. In short, we love them and we're proud of them not because they have earned it. We love them and we express pride in them as an act of grace. Our love for them and our pride in them is an undeserved gift that we give to our children as parents. However, although we always love our children and we're always proud of them, what gives us the greatest joy as Christians is something far different. What gives us the greatest joy as fathers, as parents, is something that we have not yet mentioned, and what it is something that is much more enduring in nature. And we see this, again, as we look at that short lesson that I read for you this morning from 3 John, verse 4. A very short book of the Bible that we often neglect, we fail to read it, but the Apostle John tells us again in this verse that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children were walking in the truth. And what he's referring to here is when his children live in faith. What he's referring to here is when his children remain in the faith. What he's referring to is when his children both receive and live in the Word of God. And when he says this, John, he's not referring as much to his physical children. We're talking more about physical, biological kids today. He wasn't doing it. He was speaking more about spiritual children. Scripture, in fact, tells us nothing of any family that John may have had, nor does tradition. We do know that several of the apostles were married, but John, we just don't find anything about his personal life in the scriptures or in tradition. But again, he's referring to spiritual children. He's referring to those to whom he had ministered over the course of the years. He's referring to those that he had discipled. And in particular, he's referring to Gaius, who is the one to whom this letter is addressed, if you look back up to verse 1. And I think that most of us can relate to this. Having pastored full-time for 24 years now, I know that I can relate to this. I've led so many people in worship. I've preached to so many people. I've taught so many people. I've counseled so many people. I've baptized so many. I've done weddings for so many. I've confirmed so many. I've done funerals for so many. You know, the kids that I ministered to at my very first congregation, they're all grown up. Most of them are married. Most of them have kids of their own at this point. Others had young children while I served at their churches, and now their kids are grown and married, and in many cases have children of their own. And throughout all of this, I've come to love these people. I've come to think of them as family. I've come to love them as my own. I can relate to this even though many of those to whom I've ministered are far older than me. But regardless of their age, again, you love and you care for the people and your congregation, and you love and care for them as spiritual children. And I'm sure, again, that many of you can relate to this on a certain level. There are likely those who are not your children, but you have loved them as though they are. You know, there are those who perhaps they were over at your house most days playing with your kids when they were young, and they just felt natural being there, right? They came to feel like a part of your own family. Maybe there were those that you taught for several years as a Sunday school teacher, or those that you have interacted with as a part of your job. But again, they have spent significant time with you. They have learned from you. Maybe they have even been instructed in the faith by you, and you care about them as your own children. But again, regardless of the fact that John was speaking of spiritual children, my point remains the same. His greatest joy was not to hear that they were healthy. His greatest joy was not to hear that they were safe. His greatest joy was not to hear that their needs were provided for, and his greatest joy was not to hear that they were successful in the eyes of this world in which we live. His greatest joy was to hear that his children were walking in the truth. His greatest joy was to hear that they were living in faith. His greatest joy was hearing that they both received and lived in the Word of God. And as we look to Scripture, we find this sentiment shared not only here in this passage, we hear it expressed not only by the Apostle John, we find it also in the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 23:24, did I get that right? Yeah. Just making sure I have that citation right. Here's what we read. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. And it's clear then that the father of the righteous will rejoice. The father of the faithful will rejoice. He will rejoice and he will be glad. Now that being said, we do have to be careful with this phrase. And we have to be careful with it because as we read it, we often fail to understand who the righteous truly are. We often believe it to mean those who are genuinely good people and who do everything right. We often take this to mean those people who do a really good job of keeping the commandments that God has given to us. But we have to realize that this is possible for no one, least of all you and me. No one, according to Scripture, is good. And left to ourselves, it's possible for none of us to keep God's commandments. According to Scripture, the one who is righteous is the one who believes. It's the one who believes God's promises. It's the one who looks to Christ and to Christ alone for the forgiveness of sin and for salvation. Again, it's the one who looks to the Lord in faith. Knowing this and believing what we do, John's statement that we're reflecting on this morning, it makes perfect sense. It only makes sense that our greatest joy would be to see or to hear that our children are walking in truth. We know and believe, after all, that we are saved through faith in Jesus and that we receive the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. And again, it's needless to say this, but none of us as Christians want to see our children miss out on the blessings of God. None of us want to see our children miss out on the blessings of forgiveness or life everlasting. None of us want to see our children miss out on eternity in the presence of God. And along those same lines, none of us want to see our children fall under the wrath of God. None of us want to see our children fall under God's condemnation. None of us want to see our children spend an eternity in hell. And it's for this reason that raising our children in faith is such a priority for us as believers. It's for this reason that we bring them to church from the time that they are very young. It's for this reason that we present them for baptism. It's for this reason that we bring them to Sunday school and confirmation and youth group. It's for this reason that from the time they are small children, babies even, we read to them Bible storybooks and in time Scripture itself. It's for this reason that we pray with them, and it's for this reason that we speak to them of the Word of God. Now that being said, I've talked to many parents of adult children, and I've heard regret in their voices. I've heard regret in their voices as, frankly, they wish they had done a better job when it came to raising their children in faith. Some of these parents, they weren't believers themselves when their children were young. They didn't yet have a real faith as they were raising their kids, and for this reason, they didn't pass the faith along to their kids. They had nothing to pass along to their kids in this regard, so they didn't even try. Others may have been believers, but their faith simply was not a priority for them at that stage of their life. Church was not a priority for them. Their time and their attention and their effort were consumed by other things, such as their career or their hobbies. And they simply assumed that regardless of what they did, their kids would have faith. They simply have assumed that their children would be saved. They have simply assumed that God would not deny to them his forgiveness and salvation. And then there are others, of course, who did the best that they could. They had every intention of raising their kids in faith, and they earnestly tried to do so. But looking back, they see things that they could have done differently. They see things that they could have done better. And we have to realize, of course, that none of us do a perfect job when it comes to this. We could all do better when it comes to raising our kids in faith. Like our kids, we too are sinners, and no matter how earnest we are in these efforts, we are imperfect Christ followers. And where we have failed in this, then we must repent. Where we have failed in this, we must seek the forgiveness of God. And recognizing our mistakes, we must ask the Lord for his wisdom and strength that going forward, we might faithfully carry out this calling. If it's too late, if our kids are already grown, we can yet reach out to them. We can share with them the word of God. We can share with them the love of God. And we can encourage them in faith. We can also ask God for his help that we might do better with our grandchildren. We might ask that he would help us, that we might be a godly influence in their lives. We can ask for his help that we might point them to the Savior. However, that being said, no Christian will fail to desire the salvation of his children. No Christian will desire his children to fall under the wrath of God. Like John, we have no greater joy than to see or to hear that our children are walking in truth. Now, I want to switch gears here just for a minute. This is something that all of us as children need to hear as well. We need to understand the love that our parents have for us, and we need to understand the desire that they have for us. And this will help us to understand their actions. As young people, and we know this even as adults, as young people, we often question the decisions that our parents made. We even challenge the decisions that our parents made. We can't seem to understand that their desire is ultimately for our good and for our blessing. At the time, we feel as though they are withholding from us things that are good. We feel that they are denying to us things that are good. And for this reason, we become resentful. We often feel that they are forcing on us something that we find boring. We may feel forced into going to church. We may feel forced into attending Sunday school or youth group or whatever it might be. And again, we're frustrated by this. But we fail to realize that the desire of our parents is for our blessing. Their desire is for our blessing in this life, but more importantly, their desire is for our blessing in the life that is to come. And as children, then, it does us well to extend grace to our parents. It does us well to give them the benefit of the doubt. If we believe that they are mistaken when it comes to the rules that they made or the decisions that they are making, if we believe that they are too strict, and if we insist that, or if they are insisting that we do things that we don't want to do, we would do well to extend to them grace. We would do well to extend to them grace, realizing, again, their desire is for our good and for our blessing. Not only are they trying to restrain our sinful nature, not only are they trying to correct our sinful actions, but they are trying to instill this faith within us. They are trying to instill within us the faith by which we are saved. They are trying to instill within us the Word of God by which we are brought to faith and by which we are enabled to believe in Jesus. They are trying to instill within us His promises, which if believed, deliver to us the blessing of God. They are trying to instill within us not merely a moral code or a moral compass. They are trying to instill within us not only the understanding that the things of this world are temporary and that they are insignificant compared to that which is eternal, but they are trying to instill within us a dependence upon the Lord, a trust in the Lord, which gladly receives all that He offers to us. So where they fall short, again referring to our parents, we should forgive them. When they have erred, we should forgive them. We should forgive them knowing that although they were wrong, or although maybe they just went about it in the wrong way, they were seeking only our salvation. But hearing this, my encouragement to you as fathers, and again as mothers, as parents in general, it's very simple. As you naturally desire the salvation of your children, act on it. First of all, if you desire that your children will walk in the truth, you must do so yourselves, right? You must possess this faith for yourself. You must look to Jesus in faith, and you must live in this faith. You must also do all that you can to raise your children in this faith. You must do all that you can to ensure that they are exposed to the Word of God, that they might believe it and be saved. As we charge parents when they bring their kids for baptism, bring your kids to the services of God's house. Do so even when they're young and when it seems that they're not paying attention in the least, right? Instruct them in the basics of the faith. Teach them things like the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. As they grow in years, place the Scriptures into their hands and provide for their further instruction in the faith, and do so that they might lead a godly life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the blessing of children that you have entrusted to us. We are thankful for these young people as we watch them live, as we watch them grow and mature, and as we watch them thrive. And we pray, Lord, that just like John, our greatest joy would not be watching them to succeed in the eyes of this world, but that our greatest joy would be to see or to hear that they are walking in the truth, that they are trusting in you, and that they are living lives of faith. Forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short in instilling this faith into our kids. Help us so that we can do a better job in the days and in the years ahead. But fill us with this desire. Use us to be a blessing to our kids, and we pray that you would raise each one of our kids, the kids of our church, the kids of our community, but that they might be raised in faith. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.